Welcome to Fielding Questions, a podcast produced in collaboration between Egg Country Farm Credit Services and the Red River Farm Network that explores the world of agriculture and rural life. Purchasing farmland is a big decision, especially in today's environment. Kevin Berdan serves as Market Vice President with Egg Country Farm Credit Services, and he's here to help those kicking around the idea of buying land. With that, we are welcoming Kevin to the podcast.
Excited to be with you, Adam.
All right, Kevin. Today we're looking to answer the question, is now a good time to buy farmland? There are a lot of different factors at play. And so if somebody were to walk through your doors, where would you start with them?
First of all, I think this topic is an excellent question and is one that is always weighing on the producer's mind. If there were an easy answer to this question, we wouldn't be asking it, right? I think if we were to ask any producer that has ever bought farmland before, they'd probably tell you that buying land is often one of the most exciting and rewarding things they've done. And probably in the same breath, they'd tell you that it's probably one of the most nerve-wracking things that they've done in their career as well. So the question bears a lot of weight and importance. And so there's a lot of different places we can start with that. Interest rates are one that is a big factor and on the mind probably more recently with producers, as we've seen rates nearly double in recent history here. And so it doesn't take a rocket science to realize that they do have a significant impact. Interest rate cost is typically front-loaded, meaning you'll pay most of the interest cost the first couple of years of the purchase. So there are many rate options, things that we do to try to help mitigate some of that cost up front from the different products that we can offer here at Egg Country. Some of those being long-term fully fixed or like an adjustable rate or even a variable rate, which hasn't been as appealing lately. But with those products, I think it's important for the producer to bear in mind that if you're on an adjustable rate product, you need to think about the risk that that might entail, or even a variable rate product, as there's potential interest rate risk there down the road. And if rates go up, that's obviously going to cost you more at that time when rates do adjust. At the same time with that, we do have rate conversion ability. So even though a long-term fixed rate might be a more expensive option for you from the get-go, it does mitigate some of that long-term risk that's out there. And so with the rate conversion ability, we have the ability, if rates do decrease over time, to lock you in a new product.
An interesting dynamic in regards to interest rates right now in the environment that we find ourselves in is, of course, interest rates today are much higher than they were even 3 years ago. But when you factor in the age of the person who comes through your doors and asks, it's a much different experience. A more experienced farmer who has lived through the 90s and early 2000s sees today's rates and says, okay, well, I've been here before. But those who are just starting off, or have started off really in the last 15 years, have never really experienced a rate environment like this. How big of a factor does that play into some of the conversations you have with people?
I think it plays a significant role, Adam. If a producer's coming in to me and they are a younger producer, there may not be a lot of affordability of risk with their balance sheet in purchasing something like land. And so when I look at that, I might recommend a fully fixed long-term rate for them, simply for the fact that at the end of the day, we know what they're going to pay for interest. And so with that, they may pay more upfront, might have a higher annual payment with that interest rate, but at the same time, they're mitigating some risk. On the flip side of that, what I would say is when we do lock in a long-term rate, we have the ability for rate conversion. And so even though you're locked in on a long-term basis, initially on a fully fixed product, we have the ability at some point if and when rates do come back, that we can move you into that product for a small fee. And so the thought is over time, as you make payments on your loan, and as the term of the rate gets shorter, rates typically do get better because there's less time out there. And so you'll have that advantage as you make more payments. And not only that, but you'll have market moves. If the market proves that the rates will decrease, you may have an opportunity to convert at that time. And so, yeah, you may lock in on a long-term basis as a young producer, but I think you're taking a lot of risk off the table by doing that. In addition to that, for a young producer, there are some great programs out there that we work with as well, in either FSA programs for first-time purchases of land and local state programs out there as well. I'm from Minnesota, and so I've worked with the Rural Finance Authority before, and so with some of those programs are interest rate breaks for young producers. So that's where I usually start with a question like that from a young producer, Adam.
The sheer cost of farmland today is also a major factor in answering this question. And depending on where that land is, the quality of that land, all those factors play into the price. But Kevin, where do you begin when it comes to the overall conversation regarding, is this a good number and will it work for an operation?
Again, an excellent question. And yeah, land values, they vary so much across our territories. I mean, what might be considered high value in my area might be a steal of a deal in another area. And so I think you got to start with, where does it make sense from a cash flow perspective? That's usually where I start. And along those lines, financial ratios, the health of your farm, that in farm financials are all important. But what I boil it back to initially is cash flow. And a way to do that quickly, to get to the nitty gritty, is do a cash rent equivalent analysis. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you have a starting point, you can come to me or you can do this on your own. You got to know what you're going to have to pay up front. But then what I do is, with that number, figure out my loan payment for that purchase along with the real estate tax that's going to go along with the land. Take that amount, divided by the tillable acres I'm getting. And with that, you'll get a cash rent equivalent analysis that you can compare to, well, what is local cash rent going for? Don't get discouraged when you actually run that, because when you look at that number, the cost of owning land has almost always penciled higher than cash renting land. So that's where some next level analysis comes in, and we look at your farm as a whole. And what I'd say to that is, just because it doesn't look like it will pencil out on its own, you know, doesn't mean it isn't a good opportunity for your farm. Spreading the costs out across the whole farm may make the purchase look more sustainable long term.
All right. Land is generational in some cases. And so there's always that tricky situation to what to do if land near your farm becomes available. What should we look at when you have that ability to purchase land in close proximity, but it may cost you?
I think there's definitely efficiencies there gained for land that is near land you're already farming, right? It would seemingly be more efficient for you to do that than to go all 5 miles out of the way for 160 acres or something like that. And so that does provide extra value to you. With purchasing land, there's kind of this emotional side versus the numbers side. The thing that you brought up, Adam, is one of those things that I would call an emotional factor, in that it is generational. Land purchases may only come up once in a lifetime. And so we need to weigh those things, such as proximity of the land to the land they're already farming. Another one of those is, if a landlord comes to you and says, I'm wanting to sell right now, that land that you have been farming yourself for many years probably has more value to you, in that you know what it's capable of producing. You've been farming it for as long as you have. And so those factors are very important and ones to consider, along with the financial aspects. We wouldn't want to limit a person based on that.
Kevin, you've brought up a couple different financial factors to consider, but you know, are there any other big things, different ratios or different elements of lending that come into play here that you typically address with customers interested in purchasing farmland?
There are a few financial considerations a producer should be aware of. I think it's nothing new to any producers. A general knowledge of your own farm financial health is crucial, not only for purchasing land, but for any large business decision. So terms you'll hear pretty often: working capital, owner equity, really big impacts. The impact on your cash flow of the purchase is another big factor for you. Those are all good financial measures in my mind when you're looking at purchasing land. If I'm not mistaken, Adam, though, there is a previous Fielding Questions podcast on measuring farm financial records. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Check that one out because I've listened and it is a good one.
All right, Kevin, are there any tips that you would have for listeners who are, again, thinking about that idea? Is now a good time to buy farmland? Does it make sense for me? What tips would you have for them?
I would encourage them to go talk to producers that they know have been around for a while. Again, I think if you ask any producer at the time when they bought the land that they did, it was nerve-wracking. It probably didn't make sense on paper, but it's turned out to be a really good investment for them. I encourage them to get comfortable with that. At the same time, I think it's a really important question, especially for young producers who haven't maybe been through the land buying process before. You know, what I'd encourage them to do is get in contact with their trusted advisor, even if you don't think that the opportunity that's there might be one you'll get to capitalize on. If you don't think you'll end up with the piece, it's still worth the effort to go talk to your advisors to run these cash rent equivalent analysis, mainly because every opportunity you have to go through a process makes the next process that much easier. And so eventually what might be a long shot opportunity in your mind becomes the right opportunity. And the more experience you have in that process will make that opportunity the right opportunity and one you can capitalize on.
All right, Kevin. Well, thank you very much for today's conversation. We hope that it has been helpful to those who are considering that question, and we appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Adam.
That's Kevin Burdan, who serves as Market Vice President with Ag Country Farm Credit Services. If you have a question about a financial topic, we would love to hear from you. You can message Ag Country on Facebook, tweet at them on Twitter, or submit your question using their website at agcountry.com.